your Beethoven 9 score, and for tonight, if you don't have a score, if you need to use your phone or something, if you're one of those that can do it, that's okay. There is a link to the Baron Writer on course connection. Some members have also brought extra scores tonight. You can look off of one of those, thank you, sir, or look off of friends next to yours if we can. We are focusing just on letter M. M as in Mary. This is rehearsal 543. This should be the Freude, Schöne, Goethe, Vogel section in there. Now, we talked a little before break about scores and additions. Our maestro, Kendrick Armstrong, comes from Chicago in that style, and so a lot of what he expects for the sound to sound like is of that quality. The recording I've been playing of Beethoven's Ninth is the Chicago Symphony, led by Riccardo Muti. I will send this to you through Chorus Connection as well, because Maestro has said this is the recording that he wants us to really be listening to as a reference. In your score now, look at 543. We're going to first focus on diction after we do some listening and some shaping of that diction, and then we will go and add the notes and whatnot to it.
I have no letters and no major numbers. Is this right after the tenor solo and the big monologue?
Yeah, this is right after the, thank you, sir. This is the main choral section of the work that once you hear it, you'll go, oh yeah, I know. Okay. So take a listen. Listen especially to the diction, and listen to the note lengths of the choir, meaning how they cut them, or alter them, or diminish them to make sure the diction is heard. Here we go. Just before end. Sing along, just listen. It just sounds so crunchy to me. I'm not just hearing, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm hearing Freude, Schöne, Goethe. The diction has to be as equal and paramount as the tone. Sopranos, probably hard to hear in the recording, but do you hear the soprano singing words? You do? I hear a mix between some words and when it gets super high, kind of just going with the vowel. Like, Freude, Funken, I totally welcome that from you, okay? Which means altos, you're the diction warriors. Okay, you really gotta spit it out. Tenors, kind of the same thing for you. There's a lot of times it gets really high in the tessitura. It's okay to drop some consonants then and focus on the vowels. Basses, strong diction if we can. Okay. Repeat after me at 543. Freude, Schöne.
Freude, Schöne.
Can I roll that R at Freude? Yeah, kind of a flip, like Freude. Say that.
Freude.
Almost like FD as opposed to FR. Freude, Schöne.
Freude, Schöne.
Goethe, Funken.
Goethe, Funken.
The O with the umlaut is an Ö. So everyone say Goethe.
Goethe.
Yeah, think about Ger without the R. Goethe.
Goethe.
Freude, Schöne, Goethe, Funken.
Freude, Schöne, Goethe, Funken.
Tochter aus Elysium.
Tochter.
accent?
Lee.
Lee. It's more like a crescendo. Talk to the house, Elise. Oh, I made a mistake. It's not Elysium, it's Elysium. It's a Z sound there.
Okay. Do you want a Tochter or
I'm so glad you asked this. So, some choirs do Tochter. The problem with that is you stop the sound and can create kind of like a vocal issue if you go Tochter. I prefer Tochter, like a soft CH, Tochter. So think of it as like you just had to really pronounce the H, but not the C. Tochter, say that.
Tochter.
Yeah, not Tochter, Tochter. Tochter aus Elysium.
Tochter aus Elysium.
Good. Wir betreten.
Wir betreten.
Not treten.
Treten.
Like a flip TV. Treten.
Treten.
Wir betreten Feuertrunken.
Wir betreten Feuertrunken.
The accent?
Feuer.
I would put an accent over there. You have a sforzando marking there. Treat it as an accent if you can. Going on. Himmlische Dein.
Himmlische Dein.
It's not Himmlische. It's a pure I. Himmlische. Himmlische Dein.
Himmlische Dein.
In German, when you get two vowels like that Dein, you always take the second vowel, the I sound there. And then Heiligtum.
Heiligtum.
Now, I've had some choirs turn that T to a Z. I don't like that. Just keep it as a T there. Heiligtum.
Heiligtum.
Listen to how I sing, how I speak that. Heiligtum.
Heiligtum.
Remember in the warm-up when I had you sing the full value up to that rest? This is a spot where that happens here. What I would do at Heiligtum, you have a dotted quarter note tied to a quarter note on the high, right? I would turn that second quarter note into an eighth note, eighth rest. So we get Heiligtum. We get a little break in there. Speak that, ready, act.
Heiligtum.
With the break, listen to me. Heiligtum.
Heiligtum.
Don't go Heiligtum, but Heiligtum. Full value to that rest. Speak it again, ready, act.
Heiligtum.
Clear L for Litu, so we come together again. And
Ha Litu.
Clear stoppage of sound. Ha Litu.
Ha Litu.
Out by yourself. Ready. And
Ha Litu.
Stop that. And here I was kind of silly into that rest there. Ha Litu.
Ha Litu.
That's better. Basses. Ha Litu.
Heiligtum.
That's better. Good. And there is a little bit of a diphthong, right? It's not ha Heiligtum. It's high. We go to the E sound there. On that. Going on. Deine Saube.
Deine Saube.
The Z is a TS sound. Deine Saube.
Deine Saube.
Binden wieder.
Binden wieder.
Just cross that R off of wieder. Binden wieder.
Binden wieder.
Was die Mode strenge teilt.
Was die Mode strenge teilt.
That Mo, was it the pure O or the open O?
Pure
O, right? Was die Mo. I would mark that. When I mark a pure O, I think what I do is the O with the line over it, or just an O, because the open O would just be like a C, a backward C, basically. But make sure you mark those things, it'll make the sound more clear and more together. Start speaking at Deine Saube. Two, three, and.
Deine Saube, binden wieder, was die Mode strenge
tight. That's tight, say that.
Tight.
There is an L in there, it's kind of quick, but tight.
Tight.
Yeah, and then we have, oh, this is a big, big rest here. I would mark this, the tight there, and measure 566 is really like an eighth note. It's strenge tight. Alle. It's a really, really quick break. Okay? We have to meet alle Menschen.
Alle Menschen.
Alle Menschen.
Alle Menschen.
There's a schwa sound, which is like the and that's what that alle is. It's not alle, but alle Menschen. Alle Menschen.
Alle Menschen.
Werden Brüder. Sorry. Werden Brüder.
Werden Brüder.
You have that umlaut again. Those two dots over the U becomes an E sound. Werden Brüder.
Werden Brüder.
Wo dein Saft der Fliegewalt.
Wo dein Saft der Fliegewalt.
That's another spot where we sing to the duration, but we shorten it to an eighth note, eighth rest. Fliegewalt. Say that.
Fliegewalt.
Clear break. Fliegewalt.
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 Kevin, Fliegewalt.
Flügelwald.
Just Kevin. Flügelwald.
Flügelwald.
You hear that stoppage he does there? Jenna. Flügelwald. Flügelwald. Just Jenna. Flügelwald.
Flügelwald.
Yeah. Flügel. Go all the way there to Makiba. Flügelwald.
Flügelwald.
Excellent. Flügelwald.
Flügelwald.
You just became my German speaking guru. Thank you so much. Okay. Can we speak the whole thing under tempo from Freude at letter M, please? Have your pencil. We're going to give you some markings as we speak this, okay? Just speaking. One and a two and a speak and go.
Freude, schöne Goethe.
Accent again in that line?
Lee.
The Lee again, Lee, see you. Did you hear any breaks when you spoke that?
No.
Was it Freude, schöne? It's very much legato with a little marcato accent. Freude, schöne, Goethe, Funken, don't break between the notes unless we have to. Okay? Try again. Keep it long. Keep the diction strong. Don't break unless we have to. Bill.
Question.
Oh, yes.
Is there the last
year of our
hearing
that I need to ask you? Yeah. Yeah. Lee, like we did before with the high, be cool. The same idea there. Okay? Let's speak it again, please, from Freude. One and a two and three and go.
Freude, schöne Goethe, vom Funken tochte aus dem Lied.
Ah, sieh um, go on.
Wir betreten feuer, trunken, himmlische, dein Heiligtum.
No, where's the accent in that line? Wir betreten
feuer.
I want to hear that, feuer. Start at wir betreten, please. Ready?
Wir betreten Feuer, trunken himmlische, dein Heiligtum.
Go on.
Deine Zauber binden wieder, was die modisch Fremde treibt.
Oh, circle that. You hear that? See that dynamic change at the alle right there? Oh. We're at forte, and now we're at fortissimo. It'll all sound fortissimo anyway with the orchestra, but I circle that to know we have to have a pretty big breath. That's why we shorten that to an eighth note there on that tight. Strenge tight. Alle Menschen. Come out there. Deine Zauber, please, to the app.
Deine Zauber binden wieder, was die Mode.
Christine, sorry.
Yeah. In German, the L is always longer than English L. So
Flüge, weil, weil, geteilt und geweilt.
I'd rather you go right to the T there. Less L, go right to the T there instead.
Okay, just for singing.
Yeah, yeah, for singing, because it's going to sound like, whoa, whoa, if we all do it there.
Okay,
so.
All right.
Yeah, that's why. Stand up, please. And can we add some notes to this?
No.
Thank you. Heiligtum, every time we get that section, regardless of which words, it's an eighth note, and an eighth note rest with a clear stop.
Clear stop.
And then every time before we sing Allah, the note before that is an eighth note, and then a nice good
long rest there. Yeah, that's very long rest. There was a comment someone said, thank you for bringing this up. The very last please get by it. That is the full duration. This is measure 590. Because we don't have anything coming after that, we don't have to cut that one so short there. Okay? Also, everyone say there.
There.
You have W-E-R. It's not just there. It's like air. There. There. And W's in German make what sound?
V.
V's in German typically make what sound? An F sound. Okay? You're going to get a pronunciation and diction guide from me that will show you all the phonetics and whatnot, and you'll be expected to put them in your school. Okay? Let's sing this section again, please, with those things in mind. The clear, high, the tune. I love that you don't move your mouth in there and just keep it open but break the sound. That really helps. And those accents, I want to hear way more of those accents and crescendos. Yes?
Exactly.
You don't need to breathe when you break those, like, Himmlische dein Heiligtum. Don't go Heiligtum. There's no need for a breath there. Just, we have enough air. Okay, here we go. That whole section, please. Piece away. Take out Sometimes I Cry. If you have that piece, Sometimes I Cry. And as you take it out, I'm walking around to show you something. Yes, which you should definitely do for sure. I am walking around and showing you the handwritten notes of Tupac Shakur. Tupac wrote these notes as a poem. Oh, what a question! Who is Tupac Shakur indeed? Tupac Shakur was, by the way, more than a rapper. He was actually also a wonderful actor and poet, activist and artist. He was California-based, as I believe, and so big in that 90s, early 90s scene of rap and hip-hop. He was unfortunately gunned down, I believe. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Excuse me? Maybe. Yes, and the Black Panther Network, or one of the main networks, is in Oakland, actually.
And
so.
She started in elementary school in Oakland called Roses in Concrete, which is based on
the film. I just love how everyone knows so much about you. So, if you notice, you can see on these handwritten notes, he doesn't always use the full words for certain things, like the letter R or R. Yeah, for instance, that. He has sometimes eye cry. He draws an eye on the eye there. That was just his style. I want to read these words for you from the poem, and then we'll listen to the song together. Sometimes when I'm alone, I cry because I'm on my own. The tears I cry are bitter and warm. They flow with life, but take no form. I cry because my heart is torn, and I find it difficult to carry on. If I had an ear to confide in, I would cry among my treasured friends. But who do you know that stops that long to help another carry on? The world moves fast, and it would rather pass by than to stop and see what makes you cry. It's painful and sad, and sometimes I cry, and no one cares about why. I think these words relate to anyone in many circumstances when you feel unheard. But if I can be honest, these words are particular to the Black man experience. Growing up, I was taught it was improper to cry. It was improper to show emotion. It was improper to show my true feelings about things. I was often referred to as crybaby because I cried anyway, and I was very dramatic, shocking, right? I got conditioned to believe that crying was weakness, that crying meant that I wasn't valid to share those emotions. And it wasn't until really I came to California when I realized that crying can be a sign of strength, and seeing other Black men like me that are proud to show their emotions, proud to show their feelings, it means a lot. It means a lot. This piece by Jasmine Barnes was written a couple years ago. Jasmine Barnes is one of the Blacknificent Seven. There's a group of seven composers, including Carlos Simon, Joel Thompson, Jasmine Barnes, and we are doing pieces by all of them in the next 3 years. This is just the first, actually the second, because Carlos Simon was the first that we did. This will be the second, and then we'll do a piece called Hold Fast to Dream by Joel Thompson in the next season. But I want to take the time to just listen to this piece and then talk about it in the context of what it means, not just as a singer, but also as someone that experienced feelings, and maybe you've been told in the past your feelings for whatever reason aren't valid at a certain time, or it isn't the right place to show those feelings. I think it's beautiful to see someone with such reach and breadth and strength as Tupac Shakur be able to adamantly say it is okay to have those feelings. This is a recording of Sometimes I Cry by Jasmine Barnes, conducted by Jasmine Barnes, and it's the Elevate Vocal Arts Ensemble. I will post this recording on Chorus Connection as well. If you have your score, please look at it as we listen to the recording.
Thank you.
Desperation.
Uncomfortability.
Loneliness. Yeah, these are some interesting topics to be singing about. This will begin the concert that we also do, the Carlos Simon Here I Stand On. You know, I don't know if there's ever been an Oakland Symphony concert that started with a cappella choir before, but this will start that concert.
And you said Mendel's creation dissonance that adds to that.
Yes. Yes. That last cry, Alpha, did you see your notes for that?
Yeah.
It's the B natural against the C with the soprano against the D. It's such a cluster there. Yeah, exactly, too. I will post the handwritten notes and that recording to Forest Connection. Please listen for next week. And please mark this in your scores. Next week, I would like you to come back having practiced measure 20. Tenors, that's your pickup there. Measure 20 all the way to measure 31. That'll be our goal next week, to focus on that section. Measure 20 to measure 31, okay? We have one more thing to do tonight. If you brought a Verdi Requiem score, take it out. If not, no worries. Just listen along, please, to this.
By the 1870s, he'd written several smash hits for Italian opera, including Rigoletto, which focuses on a hunchbacked court jester, Aida, the ancient Egyptian love story about an Ethiopian princess and an Egyptian commander, and La Traviata, which is about a cool girl who's dying from the crack.
Wow.
It's true. By the way, La Traviata, what movie was based on that much later on? Anyone know? Red, right? Or was that Moulin Rouge? La Boheme, thank you. La Vie Boheme, of course it is La Boheme. La Traviata is interesting, though. I have seen Rigoletto. Rigoletto is wonderful, actually. So this is an analysis video about the work. Before I go on, what is a requiem? A mass for the dead, typically a Catholic mass or a Catholic rite for the dead. That involves mass movements, typically the Introit, Kyrie, Dies Irae, which of course is the fiery movement and whatnot. How many of you have sung Requiem before? Oh yeah, it's interesting how joyful choirs tend to be, but we always sing about death and whatnot. And those tend to be like our like best concerts and whatnot. So Verdi was really an opera composer, and in a lot of ways he had retired, you know, before writing his Requiem. He had kind of just stopped writing operas. And in a lot of ways, Italian opera was kind of dying because what was taking over? Wagner in Germany with Ring Cycle and all of those things. Let's keep listening to this.
So at that time, for him to produce anything ecclesiastical would have been absurd, or even a joke. The golden age of Italian church music, which culminated in the great works of Giovanni Palestrina, was 300 years ago. A distant memory, and never more absent from European musical consciousness than in the late 1800s. Moreover, many were beginning to find Italian music a bit stale. In other countries, especially Germany, music composition and opera were making all kinds of groundbreaking advances.
What song is that?
Rhine
Valkyrie by Wagner. Wagner was just really coming up at this time for more reasons than not. We'll talk about
that. Even the Italian music critic, Abramo Mercedes, said that Italian opera hasn't really made any progress since Rossini's William Tell in 1832.
He straight up said Italian opera hadn't done shit for 100 years. That's what he said. 1832 was the last time, and now 100 years on, and Italian opera hasn't really made much change, what he's arguing. This Bassetti critic guy.
Sure, Italy had some of the world's greatest voices, but there was only so much of this kind of music, with its flourishing singing and sloppy orchestration, that people could tolerate. And this kind of music certainly wasn't suitable for religious affairs. So, with his background in theatre and the decaying state of Italian music, it would have seemed almost laughable or even shocking that Verdi, of all people, would attempt to set the Catholic Mass for the dead to his theatrical style of music. How could he, a theatre composer, possibly write with the deference, respect, and solemnity required of Catholic music? But in 1873, something
happened in 1873 that changed Verdi. Italian nationalism, okay. Yes.
Italy
was combined to become a country. Something more personal happened. Say it again. His friend died. Who was his friend? Oh, you are so smart, you get a high five. Alexander Manzoni passed away. Manzoni had been Verdi's lyricist, his best friend, and he wrote this requiem in an essence for him. Okay? This analysis video has so much in it. I've only played the first minute and 40 seconds, and it's a 22-minute video. Your assignment for next week is to watch the video.
No problem.
In completion, okay? And take notes either in your score, if you have one, or on a separate piece of paper. These notes will come back. These notes we will use to amplify and augment how we sing this. We are not a symphonic chorus for this requiem. We are an opera chorus. It's a completely different sound.
Do guys wear outfits?
Balloon hats. Oh. You get to wear balloon hats, okay? There is a great quote in here as well about this opera and what it means. And when you hear this video, think about Italian drama and melodrama. Think about opera, think about the bravitas and how extreme it can get, and also how subtle it can get in its most tender moments. And when you hear that, in this video, listen to the work and you will truly hear it as an opera. There were critics that said Verdi Requiem was his greatest opera he ever wrote because of how much it is an opera chorus. This will be posted and we'll spend some time next week discussing it. And next week we will hopefully also sing through the Dies Irae movement together. Or at least start some of that together. So look at that if you can, okay?
So what's the name of the speaker in the analysis?
This is a good question. It's not AI, I promise. I promise. Max Tavella. He actually makes a bunch of analysis. Like, there's one for Beethoven's 9 as well. So if you get into a rabbit hole of analysis videos, like I do at 2 a.m. sometimes because it's that fun, have at it. It's great. Okay? So just a reminder, next week you'll get the video. Listen to that. Watch that. Take notes on it, please. I will ask questions about that. Next week we'll also come back to the Beethoven. We focused on that main Freude, Schöne, Goethe, Funken section today. Next week, we'll go right after into the slower section. Zeitumschlungen, mir. We'll go into all of that, all the way until we get to the beginning of the one of the most incredible double pieces. Okay? We'll also look at Sometimes I Cry, measures 20 to 31, I think I said. Now, keep this in mind. When I give you specific measure numbers, it doesn't mean, oh, yay, we're going to learn this next week. It means you come to rehearsal with those notes learned and ready, and we get to shape it then. We'll do some teaching on the side as well. But please, like Stephanie said, utilize resources to help you learn this music outside of rehearsal. Cyberbase is wonderful. These analysis videos are wonderful. It's time for us to step up, okay? This is the year of step up for us. So we can't just sing the music, we have to really do and feel and be a part of this music. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Sarah, any announcements for us?
No, just help us clean up, please.
Chairs.
Chairs, any scores to turn back in or they can?
If you are visiting, please turn back in anything you receive tonight.
A big hand for all those who set up and helped tonight, chorus committee. Thank you. Please try to see Zach for a balloon if you want one before you go. Otherwise, new members, welcome. Thank you. Auditions start next week. Be ready for that. Check your email for that. Thank you. Bye-bye.